One of the things I do during the week in the parish is on Monday and Tuesday, I teach 7th grade religion. And for anyone who's been in my class, they know that I like to play games at the end of the class, Pictionary being my favorite. But I also do trivia games. Occasionally we learn religion. So here's my trivia game for each one of us. Now you can just think of the answer in your head. You don't have to shout it out. But what was the poor man's name in the story today? I'll give you 5 seconds to... Yeah, Lazarus. And what was the rich man's name? Well, you didn't fall asleep during the gospel. At least I hope not. You were standing up. So the answer is there is no name. The rich man doesn't have a name. Only Lazarus has a name in the gospel. So what do we take from that? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but first we have to talk about what they did and didn't do, because that plays in directly to the idea of why one has a name and one doesn't. Well, the rich man, it's pretty clear what he did. He ate sumptuously every day. He dressed in purple garments, which was by far the most expensive thing to wear in those days. It was very expensive to dye things in a purple dye. And he lived with his friends in comfort. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that, about using the good gifts that God's given you and enjoying it with your friends. But the question is what he didn't do. What was that sin of omission? And these sins of omission can be just as serious as things that we actually do. That's why we say in the Confiteor, for things that I have done and things I have failed to do, I ask for forgiveness. So what did he omit? He didn't go out every day and beat up Lazarus. He didn't do anything proactively negative. But what he did is he failed to notice that Lazarus was even there. And that was his means of salvation. You know, God doesn't make salvation some very difficult thing to accomplish. It's not a puzzle we have to figure out. It can be hard work, but it's not difficult to know what we have to do. God doesn't make the rich man's means of salvation something he has to seek out and puzzle into. No, he makes it to where he almost trips over his salvation anytime he goes in or out of his house. Lazarus is right there lying in the doorway. So he literally has to step over the one person that can help him achieve that salvation. Instead, he commits that sin of omission of not caring about the very person that could save him. And so he ends up in a place called Sheol. And it's easy to misunderstand where the rich man is. He's not in hell, properly speaking, but he probably will be. When we talk about, in the Creed, Christ descended to hell, we don't mean that place of final judgment where we're cut off from God and from the love of God. Rather, what we're talking about is this place where people would go before Christ was able to open the gates of heaven, before they could choose to love God through His Son and go to heaven. And it was divided between two parts in Hebrew theology. Sheol had the part for the just, the bosom of Abraham, which we read about Lazarus being in, and the part for those who did not do the will of God. And we hear about that as well. And Christ, after he died and rose from the dead, went down, and those who had chosen him through the prophets, without even knowing who their Savior was necessarily, but knew that they wanted to follow God, those he saved. But those who had an opportunity and did not, were likely not saved. So that brings us to why he doesn't have a name. Well, I think there's two reasons. One is that it doesn't matter what your name is if you're cut off from God. In this state of shale, and then being cut off from God definitively in hell, it doesn't matter what a name is, because you're not connected to the one thing that gives you a name, which is our adoption by God. Our name is not in the book of life. So, he can't even help other people. He can't be prayed to the way the saints can. If you read here, he says, I want to warn my five brothers. But he's disconnected from life. So he's not able to make that connection with them. So the name doesn't matter. He's not able to intercede for anybody. That's why the saints are remembered. Because they're people that can continue to help us. Even people that aren't canonized in our own families who have gone before us, having lived holy lives, those names matter because they're the ones who can intercede for us with God Himself. The other reason I think there's no name is because to live the way the rich man was is boring. You know, people often ask me if I find hearing confessions interesting. No, actually I don't, because if you're in the confessional, it is a wonderful opportunity for me because I have the opportunity to operate as an instrument of God's grace and forgiveness. So I love being in the confessional. But it's not exciting to hear people's sins. Maybe the first few days it's new and different, but eventually, after day after day of confession, and hour after hour of sitting in there, you realize nobody's inventing new ways to sin. I certainly haven't. We all sort of sin the same way. Sin is boring. And this man who just ate and drank and lived in his nice clothes, he's boring. I don't really care what his name is. But to be a saint is to live an adventure that God has set out for us. The saints are always finding new and exciting ways to live out the holiness that God has called them to. Every saint has a different story. And so every name is important because it gives us those countless ways to come to God. And there's still time for us to continue to embark on that adventure that God has called us to. And that adventure is one that takes us past that doorstep of our own limited self-interest and into the kingdom of heaven. And the way we find that adventure and stay on it is by praying to the Holy Spirit. If we can pray to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to fill our lives each day, then we will, through that prayer, be able to embark on that adventure and stay the course. If we don't, then we're going to be unable to find even the most basic means of salvation, like the rich man who had Lazarus right there at his door. So today, and in the days to come, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that path. Even if we already have our vocation, each of us has a different calling each day, a different way that we're to live out that holiness. And in your prayer, imagine what it will sound like when Jesus calls your name. Take a moment in your prayer and just think about that. Imagine what it will be like to have God lovingly call your name on the last day. No matter how beautiful it sounds in your head, it'll be far more beautiful in the moment. Because Christ's love for us is a love that the world has never known. And when He calls our name from the book of life, it will not only be a calling of love, but a calling to glory, to live with Lazarus and all those who have sought to seek the will of God in their lives.